The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor. Visit Pensacola.
Bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. It's Friday, a lovely day. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. My guest this morning, he's not necessarily with the Chamber, but he is with Visit Pensacola. So they always say the Chamber of Commerce kind of day. But I was thinking Darren Schaefer's here, president and CEO, always has a smile on his face, always promoting Pensacola and this area in the most positive way. So I'm very honored to have you as a guest this Friday morning.
Well, thank you, Meg. It's great to be back with you.
Yeah, so you're looking good. I have been paying attention to the headlines, and it seems that there's been a few interesting things going on around here. Tell us a little bit about what's happening with Visit Pensacola. And, well, maybe first let's start with what is Visit Pensacola?
Well, this Visit Pensacola has celebrated 10 years as an organization. We were formed back in 2014. The Board of County Commissioners said, hey, you know, tourism promotion is important. We want to make sure that, we can have be as effective as possible. So they decided to collect all the TDT and put it into one organization so we could have our strongest voice. We didn't have this duplication of services. And so Visit Pensacola was formed, and I joined the organization about 5 years ago. Like I said, we've been in existence for 10 years, and we just see year-over-year success in building awareness of Pensacola, Pensacola Beach, and Perdido Key, sharing our story, talking about the unique aspects of Escambia County, just beyond the beach. I mean, of course, the beach is, our biggest selling point, and for most people, the primary reason that they come here, because it's the thing they don't have right there in their backyard.
Of course.
Listen, I've been doing some traveling, and, you know, we talk about world-class beaches. They are world-class beaches. I mean, just was on a cruise, and some of these stops I was on, I'm like, these beaches are terrible.
Compared to ours. I know.
Oh, my God.
Sugar White Sands, you can't beat it.
And so I think sometimes you get used to it, and you're a little spoiled because of the quality of our beaches, but they're truly, truly special. And but we have so much more as a destination to offer. And so our organization is primarily funded by a mechanism called Tourist Development Tax.
So that's the TDT. Maybe we could go into just explaining that a little, because it is confusing to someone that maybe that's it. And when I first started at the Beach Chamber, I had to get TDT 101, because it is kind of confusing how this all works.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a misnomer. I mean, it's called a tax, but really it started off where the lodging industry said, listen, we'll agree to, like, do an assessment on ourselves. And we'll call it tourism development tax, but we'll assess ourselves as long as these dollars are then used for tourism promotion and development. I mean, there's not too many industries that are singled out for an assessment like this. But that was the deal, and that was the understanding. And it has been wildly successful for the state of Florida, to the point that we don't have state income tax. And every resident of the state can thank tourism and the contribution that visitors bring, because they bring their money and they spend their money, and they generate taxes, but then they leave. So, you know, they don't consume a lot of services, which has been a great economic model. And at the state level, we've been successful, but we've really been successful here.
Also the Tourism Development Council, the TDC, which is made up of community leaders and county commissioner, who then designate those dollars specifically to make sure it's going to tourism.
Exactly right. So when this statute was created, you were able to assess certain percentages, and those were introduced and voted on by our residents under referendum, but we're now up to 5%. So mm-hmm. we collect 5%. So if your hotel bill was $100, there's a 5% TDT, but also a 7.5% local option sales tax.
Right. Right.
And I think some people forget when they talk about visitors and they just hear about TDT, you know, they also realize that local option sales tax, mm-hmm. 7.5% is 1.5 times TDT. That generates a lot of revenue for the county.
And not to mention when the visitor spends and what they do and their hotels and spending in the restaurants and all of the different hospitality locations that we have.
Well, it supports so many local businesses, mm-hmm. both small and large. You know, everything from lodging, of course, to restaurants, to attractions,
yeah, baseball,
retail,
attractions, theater,
right?
Everything.
Sporting, mm-hmm. The arts and culture. People come here for the history, but they spend money in the grocery stores.
Right.
And they buy gas, and there's another tax mm-hmm. that they pay that has a local impact. But when the statute was put in place, part of the local control is they created the Tourist Development Council. And the Tourist Development Council is, a committee that is created to oversee the use of TDT. And they're like an evaluation of how mm-hmm. that money's being spent. And they make recommendations to the Board of County Commissioners. And their job is really to make sure that TDT is being spent properly.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the one local control item that we have that if they feel that it's not being spent properly, that they have, you know, a mechanism to activate to have that be reconsidered at the state level.
And organizations, so for example, with the Pensacola Beach Chamber, we had to apply. You have to fill out there's a process. You have to apply for those dollars and be approved and explain yourselves and then be accountable for it.
Yeah. So
like a grant. I mean, it's not just a, hey, we'll give you this money. Good luck.
No.
It's very regimented process.
The paperwork is significant, especially as part of the annual budgeting process. So
right.
Come April 1st, we all just submit budgets for how to we would like to invest the tourism development tax. Mm-hmm. Visit Pensacola is a destination marketing organization. Our job, we were created to promote all of Escambia County. And with us, there's also Pensacola Sports. So mm-hmm. they do countywide sports development and promotion. And then we have a third leg called ACE, which stands for Arts, Culture, and Entertainment. And they support all the quality of life elements that we have here that residents enjoy from theater to ballet to symphony. That's called the unified budget, and mm-hmm. so we make a request every year. But beyond that, there's a lot of other organizations that receive tourism development tax funding.
Right.
So it helped fund and pay for the Bay Center, so mm-hmm. we could have that facility. It has is used to underwrite costs for the UWF Historic Trust, so there's a history component, the African American Historical Society. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of events that receive funding, including our Chambers of Commerce.
And beach renourishment, because the beach is truly our source of all of this.
And that's such a significant thing. You know, we talk about the investment of TDT and how it impacts our residents. You know, almost everything we do that maybe a visitor might enjoy, our residents can certainly enjoy, and the beach is one of the things that our residents are so proud of because of the quality, and it is being taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And tourism development tax right now was just approved for up to $9 million to be invested so that we can re-nourish Pensacola Beach, and that's taking the beach from the dune line out 300 mm-hmm. feet and covering 8 miles of length from the entrance to the Gulf Islands National Seashore all the way down to Fort Pickens. So it's a significant project that wouldn't be able to happen to that degree, certainly, if we didn't have tourism development tax.
So what's interesting about all of this, Darren, and I appreciate you taking the time to kind of explain how the system, in quotes, works, because now there is a bill out there that has, that when I read it, and I'm just going to put my, I typically stay neutral on everything, but I am not neutral on this, and I cannot help myself but say that I am not for this particular bill. So explain to what is happening, because it's, to me, it just is a very bad idea.
Yeah, there's actually two bills, House Bill 1221 and House Bill 7033 were introduced. And originally their goal was to put the TDT up for referendum to be voted on by the residents. I mean, there's already a way, mechanism in place that if residents wanted to, you know, revisit TDT and how it's being spent, that you just get signatures and you can get a referendum started. This would be an automatic referendum every 8 years, and there's certainly concerns about that in regards to contracts and things that go over those lines. We wouldn't be able to renew Sun Belt Conference basketball championships. That was a five-year commitment. We wouldn't be able to renew that again because we wouldn't know if the TDT would be approved again, and their money would be on the other side of that that dateline. So that was the original bill, but now there's been an amendment that totally turns it TDT upside down. Mm-hmm. And that amendment says that TDT would no longer be used for tourism promotion. What its original intent was, what the promise was, we're gonna ignore that, and we're going to redirect TDT away from tourism, so it can't be used for promotion and development. It would eliminate the Tourist Development Council, so the oversight, the local oversight, and then it would, the idea is that it would be applied to offset property taxes in the county.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a proposal. And of course, the tourism industry is like, listen, that would be devastating.
Absolutely.
To the state, that'd be devastating to Escambia County. Because you're taking the industry that already is offsetting, you know, making it possible that we don't have income tax, but now you want to pull all that funding away from the mechanism that makes it possible to offset property taxes, and it's kind of a big lie.
Yeah,
I mean, when you look at right now how much taxes visitors generate. Right now, every household saves $513 a year because of the taxes visitors generate. I mean, we do a research study every year. The number goes up and goes down a little bit, but, you know, $513. And if we didn't have our visitors coming in here and spending that money, then each household would have to come up with an additional $513 in property taxes just to maintain the current level of services. Otherwise, we'd have to start picking and choosing what we can't pay for anymore.
Right.
So, you know, and if we took the TDT, because again, visitors generate more than TDT. They're creating those local option sales tax. If you were to take the TDT and try to spread it out over the 170 some, you know, property parcels, you know, it's 150 some dollars, I think, in rebate. So let me see. $128 annually. So that's like $10.72 a month in savings. But you would be losing visitors. You would lose that $513 of savings off it. So
it would be devastating to the economy. And I don't think people realize you've got to stay in terms of marketing and being, you've got to stay on the radar. You can't just assume people are going to come because that reminder that to visit Pensacola, visit Florida, they're traveling all over the world. You go to different conferences, you let people, we have Canadians that come here and people from all over the world, having been at the visitor center on the beach. We have people from Brazil and Colombia and from all these different places that come to visit. I mean, and then when I got here, when I was got into that position about 4 years ago, I would say our average visitorship was about 800 people, maybe a month. When I left, by the time I left, we were up to 2,800, 3,000 a month coming into the visitor center. And that was a reflection of what you all were doing at the Southeastern conferences and all the different trade shows and going to Europe. And all those things matter.
Well, let me put it this way. I for one would love to see property taxes go down.
Sure.
I for one wish the legislators would focus on changing our insurance costs. Mm-hmm. That would be a huge benefit that everybody would be able to appreciate.
Yes.
So believe me, I understand that this is just not the way to do it. This will hurt our residents. I mean, if I thought this was a great idea, I would say, yep, let's do it. Mm-hmm. And here's why. But I just don't see it's a negative gain.
Right.
And as a result, then we also lose all of these facilities and quality of life items and events that have been funded. I mean, there's a long list of things we would lose as residents of Escambia County. We'd be like, oh, shoot, I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
But then you talk about, and I understand that traffic is always a concern as a resident. I get that. And we always talk about how many visitors. There's too many visitors. And we see that sometimes out at the beach. And I think there are steps always being planned forward to try to alleviate the congestion and removing people from cars so that, you know, we don't have crosswalks and maybe some flyovers over the road so that we don't have those traffic issues. So those things are being talked about and will be funded by, guess what? Tourism development tax.
That's right.
But may not happen if we don't have tourism development tax. So I get all that. But at Visit Pensacola, our focus is how do we support our local businesses? Mm-hmm. How do we support the 18,700 jobs? 18,700 people who live in Escambia County who are directly supported by tourism. How do we keep them employed? How do we keep those businesses open that our residents enjoy so much, their favorite restaurants? I mean, we saw what happened in COVID. I mean, that was devastating. Gosh. And there was potentially an end in sight. And everybody, you know,
when the beach bridge went out.
Oh, my God.
I mean, let's just be honest about how devastating that was to the businesses.
Not a lot of businesses can lose 20-25% of their business because it came from visitors, and in some cases, a lot more than that. And so, you know, TDT isn't a burden on residents. It's a benefit because primarily TDT is paid by visitors.
That's right.
Because it's collected by our lodging. It's paid for by out-of-state guests, and eliminating TD taxes or repurposing them and trying to use them for another purpose just means that residents will have to pay more in taxes over time.
Here's a comment that someone just texted in. If you wanted to comment on this topic or you have a question for Darren Schaefer with Visit Pensacola, here's the comment. If they lower property tax, the counties will raise sales tax and hurt the poor and middle class. They already have no tax refund or unearned income.
Well, that's a very valid concern. Just because, let's say this goes through and we're devastating our tourism economy and putting us on a very, downward path. And they say, okay, you know, so it's going to be, $128, $129 a year in savings. There's nothing to say that the mill rate wouldn't go up to match that. You know, maybe property taxes don't go up, but they're probably not going to go down.
Right.
And so I don't think anybody should expect to see a check because that doesn't happen. I mean, it happened once during COVID, right? That was
unusual.
You know, 100-year event.
Yeah, exception to the rule.
So don't expect a check, and I don't think you're going to see those savings as promised because how those dollars would be applied to property taxes hasn't been determined. It might leave it up to the county. So does it go to just homestead properties? Does it cover all properties? If it goes to homestead properties, okay, that'd be a little bit more money. And I divided that out so it goes from 128 to maybe 182, so $15 a month. But if you're a business, you don't get any relief. If you're a second homeowner, you don't get any relief. If you're a renter, you won't see a benefit from that. So again, I'm all for trying to lower property tax. This is just not the vehicle.
It would be devastating. Yeah, I think I agree with you that it would be devastating to our economy and so much more. So what can we do? How do we fight back on this? What is the process? Where are we, I guess, is the next question in this process.
Sure. This is a bill that was introduced by a House of Representatives from Melbourne out on the east coast of Florida. So it has made its way through a couple committees. So it's going to go to the House floor today. And it's, you know, it was a last minute thing that came out like Monday night of this week.
In the dark
of night.
Very sudden. It was
so
a
those
surprise.
Are always legit, right? You know, let's do it in the dark of night because it's, you know, such a good thing for everybody. And more than likely that'll be part of the House's budget. Now the Senate has always been, you know, maybe the champion for the tourism industry. It wasn't 2 years ago that the House wanted to eliminate funding for Visit Florida.
I remember that.
And what a poor decision that would have been. Mm-hmm. And now they're taking it to the local level. It's misguided,
right?
To be certain. And what our residents can do, the 18,700 people in the tours, our local tourism economy, how they're going to be impacted, to get them to reach out to our legislators.
Okay, so, who do we need to reach out to? How do we go about doing that, Darren?
Well, you have Representatives Michelle Salzman and Alex Andrade that are our House representatives, and just reminding them. I think they just need to see the numbers. And mm-hmm. it's not just something that affects the coastal legislators. I mean, this impacts no. all of Michelle's constituents as well throughout the county. And then Senator Don Gates as our senator. And so it's actually pretty easy to find their email. Just Google them and their email, and you can be able to send them a message. But we'll have some information at visitpensacola.com as well. On this matter.
And is there a sample letter there or something that people could maybe just copy and paste to send that in?
There is. There's a link we'll have. I mean, we have partners at the state level. There's an organization called Destination Floridas,
yes.
which represents all of the destination marketing organizations in all the different counties, as well as the Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association, mm-hmm. which are big advocates. And, of course, they're very concerned because this will directly and negatively impact the lodging and restaurant businesses throughout the state.
No question about it. And this is statewide.
This is statewide legislation. Mm-hmm. So, this will silence the tourism industry. It'll soften our voice to the point where other voices will be much louder. And again, when you get invited to go someplace, mm-hmm. You're going to take a look at that. And people like to get invited to things.
Absolutely.
And so, a state I know that would love for this to happen is California. California would love for this bill to go through and see Florida tourism get diminished.
Just not promoted at all.
Love to pick that up because we have been the number one domestic destination in the United States as far as states.
Well, your record of success is evident. We don't even have time to go through since Visit Pensacola was formed, the positive impact it's had in the last 10 years.
Marketing is a process that builds upon itself. Right? Mm-hmm. It's creating top of mind awareness. It's sending out that invitation. It's an opportunity to tell our story that explains why we're different than other places in Northwest Florida or all the many other beaches mm-hmm. in Florida or to the west of us. So, we've seen it. We've seen year over year growth. We've seen going into emerging markets. We've seen the benefits of some of the international marketing we do, and we treat that as an emerging market. I'll just share this. We just had a board meeting. One of my board members said they were at Lagunas. And they're waiting in the zip line, and the person standing next to them was from the UK, and they had come because they heard, the advertising promotion of Visit Pensacola.
Oh, we would hear that all the time at the visitor center on the beach, all the time. How did you hear about us? Because we would always ask, how did you hear about us? Oh, I saw this thing in the Facebook page. I saw this event. I saw this promotion. It's out there. Yeah. But if it just stops, that could be tragic in my opinion. Humble opinion.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has put some marketing dollars. I mean, no one can dispute the power of marketing.
Right.
I mean, certainly none of our elected officials locally mm-hmm. or at the state level can deny the power of marketing. Otherwise, you wouldn't see their ads. You wouldn't see mm-hmm. the yard signs.
That's right.
And all the different things that they do. So to just end that mm-hmm. for the state, I mean,
All right, so we have about a minute left, so what can we do? In addition to contacting our legislators, this is going to be and go through the House today, so pay attention to the news. What's next?
Yeah, well, they're going to extend the legislation session. They're not done yet.
Okay.
And hopefully the Senate will be the champions that they always have been, but reach out to them and let them know how important this is and how it impacts us here in Escambia County.
Thank you so much. This is Pep Talk. We've been talking to Darren Shaker, President and CEO of Visit Pensacola.
Thank you,
Maggie. You have our support. You've been listening to Pep Talk. We'll be back right after the news.